The Digital Accountability and Transparency Act, the Data Act, has already garnered more attention in 4 months since it became law than previous federal transparency laws did in the last 7 years. The big question is, will that focus and attention last beyond this first year, and will it really bring transparency? Federal News Radio's executive editor Jason Miller is here to tell us why some experts believe the Data Act is different than all of those other laws. Jason, good morning.
Good morning, Tom.
The government keeps trying, doesn't it? So why do some people believe this focus is going to have long legs, regardless of the election in November and in 2016 and the rest of history?
I think there's several reasons why the Data Act implementation will be closely and consistently watched. And I think that's the key here, consistently watched. You know, starting off with a requirement that agency inspectors general are involved in oversight from the beginning. If you look at some of the other laws, and the one that we have to bring up is the Federal Financial Accountability and Transparency Act, FFATA. By the way, Tom, still my favorite acronym in all of government. They did not have that built-in oversight. I mean, Congress did their oversight, but not the IG point. But the IG is here at the beginning. In fact, the Treasury Inspector General already has two ongoing audits around data transparency. Remember, this bill is only 4 months since it became law. Bob Taylor is the Deputy Assistant IG at Treasury. He says one audit is looking at how Treasury set up its transparency office in the first place, and another is around how OMB and Treasury are working together on implementing the Data Act. Taylor says his office's role expands as more work is done to implement the Data Act.
Section 6 of the Data Act, aptly named Accountability for Federal Funding, calls for IGs to conduct reviews and report to Congress 3 times over the next 6 years on their respective agencies' spending data and on the use by the agencies of the data standards that will be issued by Treasury and OMB. Under the Act, the 3 reviews are to be done in consultation with GAO and are to include a statistically valid sampling of spending data submitted to usaspending.gov. The IGs are to specifically assess the completeness, timeliness, quality, and accuracy of the sampled data. GAO likewise will report 3 times. After reviewing the IG's reports, GAO will assess the completeness, timeliness, quality, and accuracy of data submitted by federal agencies, and they will also be looking at the implementation of the data standards by those agencies. So when these IG and GAO reviews to occur, the first IG report is going to be sometime after the data standards are issued. That is 18 months after is our first reporting due date, which would be November 2016.
The IGs then would report in November 2018 and November 2020, and then the Government Accountability Office would report in the odd years, 2017, 2019, 2021. So as you can see, there is going to be consistent reporting every year, either by agency IGs or the Government Accountability Office.
I think the key there then, Jason, is not by the agencies themselves, but by the people who are overseeing them.
Correct, the auditors, and which is, I think, that was built into the law and the lesson they learned actually from the Recovery Act. Because if you remember, Tom, from the Recovery Act, one big thing about that was the IGs, again, were involved at the beginning. And then I think Congress learned their lesson on that one. Now, Taylor says there's one bigger challenge that's still ahead of them, and that is around IG reporting. He says agencies are to start submitting the fact that they meet these new standards as late as May 2017. Now, you just heard Bob Taylor say their first report is due November 2016, so 6 months before the latest date that they can start reporting that they're using the data. So Congress is going to have to get involved and fix that anomaly, as he called it. Now, Taylor spoke yesterday at the Data Transparency Coalition Summit in Washington. Another reason for this long legs of the Data Act that was discussed at the panel yesterday is Congress itself. I think more and more members understand the value of data, the value of technology, and most importantly, why making federal data more accessible, usable, and overall transparent really does matter. Amy Edwards is a staff member of the Senate Budget Committee, who's one of their members. Senator Mark Warner was one author of the Data Act. Edwards offers some insights into the committee's oversight priorities.
I think linking the data streams from the budget, accounting, procurement, and grant universe is an important number one priority because it's the foundation for what we hope the Data Act success will be. And so, I mean, I think that is something we're monitoring closely, getting quarterly, if not more, updates from the teams and the interagency working groups from OMB and Treasury, monitoring that work, which is due out in a year from the day we enacted. So May 2015, we'll be looking to see those results and are really following that really closely. You know, the full disclosure of federal funds and the improvements to usaspending.gov is certainly an important focus of this work, and I've been happy to hear that we can expect to see some incremental improvements to the site. And that's something that we're going to be tracking really closely. The other important component, maybe one of the most important components, in addition to taxpayer transparency and access to data for decision makers, is really agencies using this information internally to guide agency operations and finding savings and efficiencies.
Now, over on the House side, Ali Ahmad is the staff member for the Oversight and Government Reform Committee. He says OMB and Treasury need to consider answers to four specific questions. Now, these are including who will use the data, meaning not just the government, but the public sector and private sector. What would be the best ways to connect outlays, meaning what you're spending on, to program activity, meaning where that money is going within your agency's program? How should OMB and Treasury consider the impact of proprietary identification standards? Now, he's specifically talking about the DUNS, Dun & Bradstreet number, that every vendor must use. And there's this big push by good government groups and now obviously the Hill that says they should dump DUNS. And I think you're going to see that as a hashtag trending hashtag across Twitter over the next few months, because people are really getting up against the DUNS. Dun & Bradstreet numbers that are used by government.
Just a quick question. How do the DUNS numbers work against federal data spending transparency?
So the idea behind this is what the good government groups say, is that, number one, they're proprietary. So it's a closed system. Number two, the government is paying a ton of money to Dun & Bradstreet for the access to this unique identifier, and there's so many other options for unique identifiers that are based on open standards. And two, it also, the way DUNS works, if you have a company X and company X has seven subsidiaries, they all have separate DUNS numbers, so you can't search by one. You can't just say, I'm going to look at Tom Temin and Associates, but if there's Tom Temin and Associates and Tom Temin Company and Tom Temin Lighting and Heating, you can't see all of them that are all connected. They each would have separate DUNS numbers, and I think that's the biggest complaint. Real quick, the fourth question is how OMB and Treasury will visualize and contextualize this data so it can be used by all stakeholders. Again, it goes back to the usability and the keeping more a broader set of people in mind as you're putting together this implementation effort.
I'm speaking with Federal News Radio's executive editor, Jason Miller. So what did you learn about OMB and Treasury's plans for implementing their part of the Data Act at yesterday's coalition?
I mean, they're the key here. Oversight can't begin until there's actually some implementation. But 4 months after the bill became law, there's been a ton of activity. Let me give you just a couple quick examples. Just last Friday, Treasury published in the Federal Register a request for information asking anyone who's interested, all stakeholders, what are the best data exchange standards that, can be used both within the government but also in the general public. Treasury and OMB also are creating an implementation roadmap on how to move forward with the Data Act over the next 12 to 36 months. In fact, Dave Mader, the controller of OMB, says the Data Act is a journey, not just a flip of a switch approach.
This is going to be a very iterative approach. We're going to rely on lessons learned, and we're also going to look at some opportunities to experiment, because we don't want to do, nor does anybody have the resources, to build the world's biggest database. And we believe that technology and data analytics is going to allow us to create a very innovative approach to how to implement the next iteration of spending that's transparent to taxpayers. So we've created a steering committee between Dave and myself and our respective teams. Our teams are meeting on a daily basis. Dave and I probably meet or talk on the phone about the Data Act at probably 4 out of 5 days a week. We've also created an advisory committee, and one of the speakers mentioned the need to sort of integrate the work that has been done over the years, whether it's in the grants community or in the acquisition community or in the CFO council. How do you bring all of these stakeholders and how do you bring all of these disparate data sources together in one place? And that's really the key to the implementation of the Data Act.
Now, the other Dave you heard Mr. Mader talk about is Dave LeBrick, the Treasury Fiscal Assistant Secretary. LeBrick says, he's the other really key player in this implementation effort, and he describes a few of the underlying principles of Treasury and OMB's implementation plans.
This really has to be a data-centric effort. Agencies need to own the data and use the data. It can't be a systems effort. And that's how we often in the past have approached these kinds of things in government. Build a large system. I thought the commentator earlier who mentioned the ability of, you know, very large, expensive, scaled systems and the ability to actually look at it differently, I think was a comment right on the mark that, you know, there are ways to do this that are more efficient and actually ultimately more effective in terms of our ability to get at data. So I think that the data-centric is critical, and that leads to one of the comments about, you know, getting the data exchange standards that we need are so very important. Questions around mapping data and extracting data from organizations is important. The notion about incremental, and that is that as we move along, not every agency is going to be in the same place. And so there are some who are further along than others. And so we need to make sure that we're making measured progress as we're going through the implementation and making data available as it is available as best that we can. It has to be reusable. I mean, that is that we have to make sure that we make maximum usage of existing investments and existing processes.
Now, Liebrich says the other guiding principles include collaboration with all stakeholders, and these include Congress, state and local governments, good government groups, auditors, of course, and many, many others. And finally, he says there has to be, as you heard him say, iterative and agile, using small-scale pilots to see what's the best way to proceed longer term. Now, Liebrich says there will be failures, that's without a doubt, but as long as they're learning, the failures are okay, and I think it's obviously refreshing to hear him say that. Both Mader and Liebrich say agencies, Congress, auditors, entire open data community needs to be patient in how the Data Act is implemented. Remember, there's a reason why Congress gave them 3 years to lay this out. And as Liebrich says, you know, if this was easy, it would have been done a long time ago.
And Jason, a fast question. Yesterday, I had an interview here on the show with Relman Van Daneker, who retired yesterday as head of the Association of Government Accountants. And his big theme is making spending information easy for citizens to digest in four-page forms and so forth. What about the financial and accounting function? Do they have a role in the Data Act?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the CFO is playing a huge role. I mean, if you think about who's leading this effort, it's Treasury Fiscal Service and OMB's controller, huge fiscal, huge financial management types. So I think they play a big role, but they can't forget that this is not only a CFO function. I mean, this includes the CAO acquisition. This includes the IT folks and includes the program folks.
All right. Jason Miller is Federal News Radio's executive editor. Thanks for that story.
My pleasure.